wife asked me this morning how long I've known Pastor Michael and Pastor Obi, and it's better part of 20 years. I suppose it's 23, 24 years or so, I don't know. Somehow we connected, started praying together, and God started moving. Maybe thank you for coming because it may be more important to this congregation than me. But I'm related to you and I love you so deeply. And so thank you for ramping up my reputation. It's been good. Of course, some of my students that I see here, and you can never sing a song, Delight, without thinking about Delight, right? And so, yeah, that's how that rolls. And so will you stand with me this morning and let me read three passages of Scripture? And then you can be seated afterwards. I guess the reason I ask people to stand now is because when we stand, we tend to reflect that as focus and honor. And I think any time that you look in the Scripture, you need to focus and you need to recognize the honor that the Scripture will provide for us in our lives. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, and then I'll give you two more. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Let's flip all the way over to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to ground this past this message today in the New Testament. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin with verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and then wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Father, in the next few minutes, will you open this book in a way that we've never seen? Hallelujah. Lord, will you open this book in a way that we've never known? And will you open this book, Lord, in a very personal encounter for each and every one of us, including those that are watching this online and those that will see this in the days to come? Lord, we're living in difficult days. We're living in trying times. We're living in compromising circumstances and situations, Lord, and the enemy's desire is to capture any and every one of us. But Lord, your desire, Lord, is to enable us to overcome like Jesus overcame and model for us and now gives us the power to do the same. Let this word come to life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think I want to record that amen and take it with me everywhere I go. And then whenever we get to the end of that, I'm just going to play this for you guys, right? So some places I go and they're like, oh me, instead of amen. But it's all right. Man, I'm delighted to be with you guys today. I'm so excited about being here with you, Pastor Obi, and realizing what God is doing here. I do want to tell you that I am confident this morning that if you'll open up your heart to this word, God's going to give you not only a clarity and understanding of where he's leading you and where he's taking you, but God's going to give you the empowerment to get you there. The problem is too often we get some idea where we're going and then we don't get the empowerment to get there. And then at other moments in life, we think we want to get somewhere and we got a little bit of zeal, a little bit of power, and we think we're good to go, but then we have no direction in where we're headed. And so this morning, I believe God's going to open a word for us in this passage so that we can actually comprehend and understand what God might be saying to us in this trying time. It's no news to you. It's no shock to you. It's not foreign to any one of us what's going on in our world and how the attack of the enemy is seeking to cause us to forget God, to distract us from who God is, and to actually, and I think there's a third one that's kind of coming along lately, and that is to get you frustrated about God. I don't know. I can get incredibly frustrated about the Russia and Ukraine crisis. I can get really upset about so many children losing their lives at the hand of a crazy guy. I can get so upset at people who, in this county, in this city, in this town, whose children are being abused last night and they wake up today with the inability to let anybody know that. I can get frustrated with all of that. And quite frankly, in my human form, it would be incredibly easy to get so mad at God, because why would you allow that, God? Why would you permit that, God? Why do you let that happen, God? But there's something that's greater than all of that difficulty and challenge for me, and that is simply the fact that my knowledge of God is such that I'm aware that while God might permit and allow and let something occur, He is still the choice. He is still Jehovah. He is still Rapha. He is still the provider. He is still the one. He is still the creator. And He loves each and every one of us just the same.
Amen.
The passage I read in Luke chapter 15 is kind of a little bit alarming for all of us, because the reality is every one of this room are prodigals. Everyone watching online are prodigals. Everybody on the face of the globe are really considered prodigals. But I want to go beyond that for just a minute, and I'm going to give you three different words that I think categorically every one of us will fit in one of those three areas in our lives. No matter who you are, no matter what your history is with God, no matter what your perceived perception of God is, no matter if this is the beginning or soon to be the beginning of your life, the reality is that there are, in addition to the fact that we're all prodigals, we land in one of three areas. We're either a wanderer, W-A-N-D-E-R-E-R, not a wanderer, W-O-N-D-E-R, but a wanderer, which means that we're traveling aimlessly through the land, or either we are a settler, or we're a traveler. We're wanderers, we're settlers, or we're travelers. And this morning, I think the better choice of the three is either going to be perceived even early on in this message today, is that we should become travelers and never settle to be settlers, right? Never should we allow ourselves to settle in our faith and say, I'm champing out, man. I'm loving this. This is great. I got it made. The very moment that you think you got it made, the reality is you don't have it made, and the chances are greater for you to have a difficulty that's going to come along and bankrupt you or sideline you or cause you to have questions that really are going to cause you to lose out on your faith. In this passage, there's some wonderful things that we can unpack in this Genesis chapter. So go back with me to Genesis chapter 11, and I want you to kind of see what's happening in these passages. If you look up at chapter 11, verse 27, you're going to come down, you're going to find the genealogy of Terah, which is actually Terah, which is actually Abraham's father. Now, if you notice what I read in chapter 31, it only listed two of Terah's relatives that were traveling with him, because his son, Haran, had died where he was. And this is interesting to me, verse 28, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now here's what I want us to comprehend this morning, and I really want you to grab a hold of what I'm trying to tell you. All of us are on a journey. At every stage of our life, we are on a journey. The very minute that we think we have arrived, the possibility of grabbing a hold of us and causing us to lose out is greater. Now, you know, I don't know. My wife and I have been married 34 years. And, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have been married or are married or how long you've been married. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not pursuing that relationship, just the fact that you're hanging out in the same house for 34 years doesn't give you the beauty of what God intended in the marriage relationship. In the same way, in our faith, if you're just coming here hanging out with Pastor Obi until about, I don't know, maybe Pastor Obi told me you guys get out about 1:30. Just kidding. You did not say that. Hang tight. I don't know what time we're going to be out today. I don't care. I want to know is this. If you'll open your hearts and if you'll open your minds from generation to generation, God is speaking and He's getting a hold of our hearts, and He's wanting us to recognize that we are travelers in a foreign land headed for a place of promise. I never figured out, Pastor Obi, why people spit and scream from the pulpit, because I am not mad at all. I'm just actually excited about what I'm talking to you about, and I want you to get excited about what maybe God is going to do in your life.
Amen.
This little excursion to church Man, I don't know. I don't have notes, by the way. I'm just talking to you. Just understand that. This is something I wrote down last night to give you today. But I'm telling you, the little excursions to Christianity that we just go to church for a little bit, that is not sufficient. God wants to do more than to give you an excursion to a place that you call home and a place that you call family and a place where you enjoy it and you love it and it's great. This is a celebration to give you the energy and the accountability and the faithfulness and the experience and the family. So on Tuesday, when hell is knocking at your door, you can make it because you celebrate it on Sunday and you're hanging out with the family of God the rest of the week. Abraham was an interesting person because Abraham learned to listen to his heavenly father, which eventually caused him to leave his earthly father. Now let me speak about honor for just a minute. Honor is something that I think that we miss in the church today. Honor is not just the fact that, oh, I'll meet you, Pastor Obi, and it's great, and let me carry your stuff for you, and all of that. Honor is giving the value to those that are worth the value. Now watch this. Honor is more about the person giving it than the person that receives it. Now, so often in life, we think that the person who receives the honor is the one who is the gift recipient. No, the one giving the honor is the one who wins the most. Scripture doesn't really tell you only honor those that are honorable. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. That's interesting, right? Friend of mine, he started counting his days down because he knew he wasn't honoring his parents. And he was like, man, I'm going to decline. By the time I get 17, I'm out of here. What are you saying, William? What I'm trying to tell you is to understand something. There is an honor spirit, and God wants us to honor him. And when we honor him, he enables us to honor others, even those that are not honorable. And why does that matter? Because it positions me. Hallelujah. The equity of heaven is honor. Listen to what I'm telling you. If you want to get God's attention, you honor, you give, you be faithful. You honor, you give, and you be faithful. You honor, you give, and you be faithful. And when that happens, all of heaven begins to open up and begins to look and begins to see, and God begins to dispatch his resources.
Amen.
Why are you saying this, William? Because I want you to understand, honor is a part of the Christian journey and in our world in which we're living, where it's gimme, 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 gimme. Honor seems so far away. If you go back to Luke chapter 15, the interesting point of that whole passage is that in that passage, I think it's verse 12, is that what happened was, is the son came to the father and he said, give me my portion. Interesting. Give me what's mine. When you give me what is mine, that means that I can take care of it better than you can. You see, the son had every resource he needed, and it was abundant, and it was available, and it was free to him, and he could get access to it, he could utilize it, he had everything that was already at his disposal, but what he wanted was his portion. Be careful in this world in which you're living and think that you're going to get your portion. It ain't about your portion. Man, you know what? I ain't mad at none of y'all. I just want you to understand the world is looking at us, and the world needs us to recognize that we need to get this thing right. Because I'm telling you, if you read the Bible, if you read the New Testament, everywhere persecution came, the faith, the church, it elevated. When the persecution was greater, the church was greater. When the persecution was intense, the fervency of the church became greater. The world is intentional to distract us and to detour us and to sideline us and to bring us out of focus with God. But if we keep our focus on God, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not just about a heavenly reward. And I'm going to go there, but I'm telling you, I want to live. I want to live with a fruitfulness today that causes other people to want what I'm giving out. Yes. Some people, I don't really want nothing. I don't want none of their excess. They got an abundance and I don't want none of it because I don't like what they're giving out. Give out something that the world looks at you and says, man, how do you faith in that? How do you have faith when you bury your child? You know, parents burying children shouldn't be. That's just kind of an opposite thing. Children should bury parents, but life doesn't yield it that way. So often parents are burying children. How do you have the joy of the Lord in the midst of tragedy? Because you know, hallelujah, that your honor is focused on him and he gives you the strength in the journey. Go back to Genesis for just a minute. Verse 31 now. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson and the son of Haran Lot and his daughter-in-law and his Abram's wife, and they went out from there, from Ur to the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. Verse 32. Some days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Don't mistake Haran, the son, with Haran, the city. It's two different things. But here's what I want you to understand. Terah left the Ur, his homestead, on his way to the place called Canaan. But then he camped out at a place called Haran, and when he got there, he got incredibly comfortable, and in doing so, he stayed there until he died there. Mm. Wait a minute, William. But in the passage before that, it says he left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But he hung out in Haran long enough that he became comfortable with Haran to the point that he stayed there and his demise became great and his life was taken there. And now there's a lot of research that we'll give you, and there's a lot of history, and a lot of people are a lot smarter than me that are going to give you reasons as to maybe why Terah hung out in Haran. I don't know that. What I do know, if you go over to Joshua, what's interesting to me, go over to Joshua for just a minute. Chapter 24 and verse 2. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. You mean to tell me that the daddy of Abraham was a worshiper of idols? Yes. And the daddy of Abraham hung out with the little g when he should have been focused on the big G. You know what the world wants to do? They don't want to cause you to just ignore God and say, you know, hey man, you know, there ain't no God. No, none of y'all are going to say there's not a God. But if he gets you too busy that you forget God, then he wins.
That's right.
You see, what happened is that Terah, on his way to Canaan, stopped by Haran and hung out long enough. Now, this passage will also tell you, if you go back to the original, you're going to understand that this idea in Joshua chapter 24, if you go back to it, I want to give it to you exactly how it's written. I love the sound of whispering paper. You know, if you're going to do it on your phone, just turn the click up so we can all hear it. For those of you who get to it quicker than the rest of us, I'm sure that you think you're more spiritual than the rest of us. I don't know. You didn't do sword drills when you were a kid, did you, Michael? We did. And you served other gods. The word serve back in the day was equated to the word work. You see, some historical reference will tell you that Terah actually made idolatry. He made little symbols of idolatry. And when he went to Haran, he had his eyes and his knowledge and his awareness on going to Canaan, but he stayed at Haran long enough that he got there, became comfortable there, and in doing so, he stayed. You know, I don't really care about your comfort other than the sense that, or I don't care what you have. I don't really care about your possessions. What I care about is whether or not your possessions have you. Terah's life, his possessions controlled him, which caused him to become comfortable in his possessions. And in doing so, he lost his focus on where he was supposed to be headed. You see, in Luke, we're all prodigals. But a wanderer is somebody who actually is traveling aimlessly without focus, or they're moving about aimlessly. You know the story in Luke 15. Here's the prodigal son. He goes, he wastes everything he has. He winds up in the pig pen. He's actually eating the husk of the corn and perhaps a little corn if he got, you know, the benefit of it, with the pigs, with the hogs, living it up in the desolate place. Terah was not necessarily a wanderer, because he found a place to hang out that he shouldn't have been. So he settled for a place that he should not have settled for because he lost sight of the place he was going to. So Haran was a land of comfort. Canaan is a land of promise. Which one are you traveling for? Are you traveling for the promise? Are you hanging out in comfort? Because the comfort becomes so much more doable than the sacrifice of the promise. The sacrifice of the promise says, it's not about me. But the world says, not only is it about you, it's about time for you to get what is yours to come to you. You know, I don't know. You ever seen a dog get wet and then they shake themselves to get all the excess off? Some of us in Christianity need to start shaking ourselves to get rid of all the excess, the residue. You ever get stuff on your hands, and no matter how many times you wash your hands with soap, you can't get it off? And now bathrooms have hand sanitizers and soap in some places I travel. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Y'all know what soap is? Hand sanitizer, don't get the stuff off. My wife's got a Dawn bottle. D-A-W-N. It's one of them squeezable bottles nowadays. You ain't even got to flip the top, Jack. You just squeeze it. You know what Dawn will do? It will take grease off of grease. It's pretty good stuff. Some of you need to get the washing of the Holy Spirit. And I know I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people that's watching online. I know I'm watching online. You need to get serious about getting the washing of the Holy Spirit to get this thing cleansed out to the place where you can start paying attention to Canaan and quit hanging out in Haran. We're all prodigals. The wanderers have no focus on where they're headed. And the settlers gave up the promise to which they were pursuing. You know what's interesting too? Is that this idea of Haran was actually an industrious, scientific, astrologer, pagan city. Similar to where Terah had left. But Abraham, at 75. I don't know if anybody in this room is 75. Anybody 75 or older? Yeah. Who's 75 again? Come on, you're 74? You're just getting started. You ain't even nowhere near the end. You're just getting started. Here's this guy. Go back to chapter 12. Let's read a little bit more. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And you and your families forever in the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. But Abram's daddy didn't go. You know what one generation permits becomes the common practice of enough or of the day. And here's what I believe. You know, I'm probably only here today because of a praying mom. Because I was a young boy. And the young man, the prayers of mom would bring many souls home. How old are you, dude? 12. You know, I believe it's a reversal this year. I believe it's a reversal in our world now. I believe the prayers of a 12-year-old son will bring children. I'm sorry, will bring parents and grandparents home. Think about it. And if this church touches the community like I believe you guys can, like I believe the servant leaders of this house are, and you start touching the community, and it's going to bring some ugly things in here, not ugly people, I'm sorry, not ugly stuff, it's just going to bring some ugly people who need to get under the spout of heaven and let the washing and the cleansing take place. You know what I believe the next revival is going to be? It's going to be the cry of the children. I've been saying this for about 10 years. Why? Because somehow children have an uninhibited faith. Theirs hasn't been scarred as much as ours has. You know the old story, take two oxen, one stronger than the other one, so that the younger one learns to plow like the older one. Or the one who is stronger, the elder ox, knows where to go and how to plow and how to pull, and the younger ox learns it. Do the value of teaching the younger, but then giving the younger the wave and the ability and the possibility to dream and to go where they need to go. Abraham said, you know what? Can't hang out in Haran anymore. I lost my brother in Ur. My daddy's not willing to go where God tells us to go. But I'm going to go. I don't really know who this is talking to today, and I don't really know what the outcome of this is going to really be. But what I'm certain of is this. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there will be built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Where's the altar in your house? Now, I don't have necessarily, like some people I know that have an altar in their backyard out in the woods area, and they go out there and travail. I do most of my travailing and travel because, or in my car, because I'm traveling usually. I do most of my communicating there. Sometimes I'll go to a place in my house in the mornings, but not every morning early. But I'll find that place. Why? Because I'm understanding that prayer is part of my everyday life. It's not just a little segment of my life. It's part of my everyday life. And I know growing up in a house with the Obies and going to church with them, with these folks and the prayer warriors that they are, I told my wife that Pastor Obie was probably the greatest praying person in the city. He would shy away from that, but for the 25 and 50, 75 and 100 of us in the faith that have seen him faithful at those places, that pours over into the house. What you guys are doing here pours over into the house. So let me get real with you for just a minute. As if I haven't ever known I have, but let me ask you a question. What are you? You're a traveler? You're a settler? You're a wanderer? Or you're a problem? I don't know. Only you can answer that. But there's another passage I want to read for just a minute in Proverbs. Go with me to the book of Proverbs for a second. Chapter 4. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. It's talking about your gaze. It's talking about looking, and where are you looking and where is your gaze set? See, number one, I think it's the attitude of our heart today. What's your heart like? You know, the interesting thing about a prodigal is, long before he became a prodigal with his feet, he was a prodigal in his heart. He was a prodigal in his mind. Before his feet ever went into motion, his mind and his heart had already left where he was supposed to be, in the safety of his home. And you know what the sad thing is? Most of the times we can't really see that happening until the feet start moving. What are you saying, William? I'm saying the condition of your heart and the attitude of your heart is incredibly important in this faith walk. And then number two, focus your eyes. What are your eyes looking on? What are they focused on? Now, my wife is very kind because she travels with me down the road, and it's a great risk because she says that I drive with my eyes. So if I'm looking at her, I'm turning to the right. If I'm looking over here at this cow thing over here, these cows, these horses, I'm turning to the left. And if I'm looking straight ahead, a good chance I'm going to miss that red light. Well, it's red. Why? Because my eyes, my feet travel where my eyes are looking. So number one is condition of your heart. Number two, focus on your eyes. And number three is the direction of your feet. And you see, wherever your eyes are taking you, your feet will eventually travel. What are you saying, William? I was in the world which we're living in, which is incredibly chaotic. What we've got to have is some Abrahams, some people who are willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to hang out in the comfort of my dad's house. Even though my dad's comfortable there, I'd like for him to go with me, but if my dad's not going to do it, I still got to do what God says. You know, I think if we were to tell all the stories in this house today, a lot of you folks have probably found yourself in that situation where you had to leave something that was perceived okay for something that was promised to be greater. Mm. Hallelujah. You know, I always get a little nervous about this time in the message because I realize that, well, I can give you some great historical points and I can lay out some wonderful ideas for you and I can unpack the scripture for you. I can't change your heart. But God can. I can't fix your life. But God can. I can't cause you to see what you need to see today. But God can. All I can do is remind you that what's happening is that God is positioning us for an impact in the world. And if we don't get it together in the house here, then we're going to miss the harvest that's out there. Interesting phrase, Acts chapter 7. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. We have a mutual friend, Pastor Michael, and his name is Billy Wilson. And years ago, Billy would use this term. I still hear him use it today. Bankrupt hell and populate heaven. You've heard him say that. What I'm doing, man, I'm populating heaven and I'm bankrupting hell. Next time somebody asks you, how's it going? Say, you know, man, I am bankrupting hell and I'm populating heaven. You want to help me? Wouldn't that be the coolest thing in the world? You know how you meet your friends or meet people? Hey, how you doing? Man, I'm populating heaven. I'm bankrupting hell. How are you doing? They're going to do one or two things. They're going to hang out with you or they don't. Or they gone. They gone. You know, sometimes I travel and I get on a plane and people ask crazy questions on planes, including myself. And you're sitting beside somebody and, you know, the plane usually if you, you know, sit, the stewards may come by and they'll be like, hello, Dr. Lamb, you know, and the person sitting beside me is like, you're a doctor? And I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? I work on heads and hearts. Well, they pay attention for the whole 45 minutes of that flight or 2 hours. What do you, you work on heads and hearts? Yeah, I work on heads and hearts. What kind of doctor are you, man? I work on heads and hearts. What are you working on? Are you working on the comfort of your life? Are you working on the promise of tomorrow that really isn't about tomorrow, it's about eternity? You see, here's the saddest thing in the world. For you to go to heaven and nobody know you there means you didn't take anybody with you. It'd be sad for me to get to heaven and nobody get there before me that I had an impact on. And nobody come behind me that I didn't have an impact on. We come here to celebrate, and we come here to be accountable, and we come here to say, God, fix my focus and my eyes and my heart, and let me pay attention to you. And then we go out there to stand in the midst of the tragedy, the difficulty, the challenge, and say, guess what? God is greater than your woes. God is greater than your difficulties. God is greater than your challenges. God is greater than your pain.
Amen.
And will you give your life in total dedication to Him? You see, what my assumption is this morning, most all of you are already doing that. So I came by my invitation to Pastor Obi to challenge you in a couple of areas. It's going to be easy in the days ahead to get more distracted than we are today. Because it's not going to get any better. I got 3 grandbabies. And you know what I pray for them? That God gives them endurance. Because it's not going to get easier. It's not going to get better. In fact, it's going to get worse. Read Revelations. Read what you want to read. But here's what I know. My faith is not in the possessions of life as lacking or abundant as they might be. My faith is in the provision of the promise of the Father who is able. And if He never, ever does another thing for me, you know what? He has been faithful. I think a lot about death some days, not because I'm morbid, but because I'm on a downhill slide. I'm over 50 and my chances of getting to 100 are not real high. I'd like to be there one day. I want to be about 101. I'd be the old person waving from the porch and there ain't really nobody coming to wave. That's okay. I want to do that. Why? Because I love living. But my living is not here. Focus, 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 focus. Your living is not here. Your living is there. Father, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, you change us. You fix us. You shape us. You condition us. You position us, Lord, to hear you, Lord, every day and to align ourselves with you every single day. God, I believe there are people in this room whose hearts are heavy. I don't know why, but I'm confident, Lord, that some people in this room, it's just weighted them down. Lord, it's weighted them down. Lord, they can carry that burden, Lord, because you can help them carry that burden. Help us today, Lord, to be mobilized with confidence, mobilized with faith, mobilized, Lord, as travelers, focused on where we are going, not to settle in this world. I pray for every wandering spirit that seeks to attach itself. I pray, Lord, that you would stand there with the shield between us and it. Cast it away, Lord. Don't let it get attached. Father, I pray that you would put kind of almost like a bubble wrap around all of our hearts and our souls, Lord, so that when the impression of the enemy is there, he cannot even touch us.
Amen.
But Lord, the radiance that comes out of us, Lord, will cause other people to want to know you.
Amen.
Please, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Watching online, maybe you can check it in and out. Maybe you can hear us, but you're preoccupied with the morning. I don't know. But here's what I know. God wants to change your life. If you're in this house and God's tapped your heart, there's always a response moment. There's always a time when we say, you know what, God? You've touched my heart, and now I'm going to respond. So I'm going to ask you, if you're in this room and God's pricked your heart this morning and you feel like there's something you want to pray specifically for today, I want you to stand your feet wherever you are. And if you're at home and you're watching this online and God's knocked on your heart right now and you're like, man, this is God touching on my heart. If that's you, I want you to respond. And I want you to respond in just a moment. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray specific prayers for you. Anybody else in this room, you feel like God has touched your heart today at a point that you want to say, you know what, God, I need to deal with this in my life. Is that you? Just stand right across this room really quick. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, your response isn't to me. Your response is to the one who created you. Your response isn't about standing up because William asked. It's about standing up in the face of the adversity and saying, my confidence and my faith and my trust and my belief is on you, Lord. And everything else is secondary. And you are primary. If you need a healing, I want you to stand in this room wherever you are. God's a healer. I believe that. I still believe that. I believe God can heal bodies. I believe that. I believe God can grow legs. I believe God can open eyeballs. I also believe God can take the anxiety that keeps you up at night, cast it far from your mind so that you can rest and you can sleep. Hallelujah. 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 You're watching online. I want you to reach out, however that happens, to Pastor Obi and this church, and I want you to let them know what you're praying for today, because I believe that God's in the business of touching people's lives every day, all the time, everywhere. Only in response to our obedience to say, God, please do this in my life. One more question. If you've got prodigals, you're praying for them, I want you to stand wherever you are in this building. You've got prodigals in your family, I want you to stand. You say, what are you talking about, William? I'm telling you, we got to quit being afraid to confront the prodigals. You got prodigals in your family. We're going to pray for them this morning. We're going to believe right now that God can touch them.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, you are our empowering spirit. You are our discerning spirit. You are our energy in this life. And Jesus, you are the answer. There is no other. Father God, you are Jehovah. You are, hallelujah, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
In the beginning, God.
Yes.
Nothing else matters, Lord, because it's all around you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're standing, just step out from where you are. Make your way to a place of prayer. However that looks for you here, I don't know what you do here. But just step out from where you are. Let's go to a place of prayer. If you're at home, step maybe one step to the left or the right, just as a statement of, I'm going to step out of this and step into what you're doing. Hallelujah. 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 For those of you who are still seated, I want you just to find a place of prayer. Maybe reach out to one of these that are standing. Come and stand behind some of these that need prayer today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, one definition, I know you're a revivalist at heart, Pastor Michael, and one definition of revival, years ago, in one of the great moves in the U.S., one of the definitions of revival was when I finish repenting for my own sins, I start repenting for the sins of my city. I start repenting for the prodigals. I start repenting for everybody else around me. And in doing so, God, you hear us. Hallelujah. Father, we're going to do a prayer now, and I want you to hear the cries of the hearts of these people. And I pray, God, that you would cause us all, Lord, to recognize that you are here with us. Lord, you were here before we came. You're going to be in this building before we leave, and you're going to be wherever we're headed before we get there.
Yes.
So in all of that today, God, remind us, Lord, that our confidence and our faith and our focus and our trust in you, Lord, puts us into a land of promise and out of the community of comfort. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, lift up your hearts in worship. Lift them up in prayer this morning. If you come for prayer, begin to lift them up audibly, unashamed, out loud. If one thing I know about you, you folks know how to pray. And we're going to spend some time in prayer right now and call these out to the Lord and let him touch you today. Amen. Amen.